This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Property Show with me, Melissa Idris. This is, of course, the show that gets into the issues behind property ownership. Now, getting a housing loan can be a nerve-wracking experience, especially if you're doing it for the first time. So on today's show, Lynn Mark speaks with Vipin Agrawal, the head of Cards Retail Assets and Deposits, Group Consumer Banking at CIMB Group. They walk through what to expect in the process.
Roughly, what are the eligibility requirements when it comes to applying for a home loan?
So before I answer that question, I think one advice I give to all the property buyers, which is to check whether you can afford to pay the installment you have to pay every month, month after month, once you take the loan. And that's not very complicated. Most of the website, including CIMB, have a simple installment calculator. Where you key in the amount of loan, the tenor of the loan, and the interest rate. Amount of loan, if you want to buy, let's say, 500,000 property, and typically you will get 90% from banks. So the loan amount would be 450,000 in this example. Mm-hmm. Then the tenor, and tenor can obviously vary depending upon what banks give it to you as well as what you want. Typically, the banks give tenor up to like 35 years, few banks up to 40 years.
Right.
And they say that your loan should be finishing by the age of 65 or 70 in some cases. So you can decide the tenor. The interest rate you don't know because you still not applied. So you can, let's say, put 5.25%. Many consumers will get lower than that, but just to have the starting point. And you put these three data points and you get the installment amount. So that is the first thing. You should be able to afford to pay that money. And that's what I advise to consumers before even they start looking around for property. Because the loan installment tends to be higher, then you want to reduce the size of the property you will buy.
Right.
So that's the first advice. But back to your question about the eligibility, you've got to be earning money. So that's the starting point. And then pretty much it comes to how it gets approved. And that's, I guess, is the big question in people's mind.
So I suppose my question would be, when you say you have to be earning money, is there a minimum you have to be earning, or does it just have to mean you have to be earning enough to cover the installment?
Yes, you got to be earning enough to cover the installment. So there is no minimum income cutoff for you to apply for a loan.
Right, okay.
Yes.
And I guess, what other type of home loans available? I understand there are a few.
Well, yeah. I mean, the classic mortgage loan is the term loan, where you apply for X number of years and you have interest rate and you have installment, which you pay. And it's pretty much like the original loan, the term loan. What has got added over time is the flexi loan. And the flexi loan really is to give more flexibility to consumers. So unlike term loan, which is fixed tenor and the fixed installment, in the flexi loan, you still have an installment. You have to pay every month, which is fixed. But if you happen to have extra income, you know, you got a bonus, you got some money out of something, and you want to put that money in, the flexi loan gives you that flexibility. And so once you get the extra money, you can put it into the loan and you start saving interest cost. So the total interest cost goes down. And also, most flexi loan will give you flexibility to withdraw that money back. But if you don't, then you will end up paying loan a lot faster than your original tenor. One should be aware that there are some fees related to flexi loan, the setup fee, the monthly maintenance fee, utilization fee, and so on, depending upon the bank. So that's the second product. What we in CIMB did around 2 years back is that we heard feedback from clients that they don't like these fees and they still want flexibility. So we launched this product called Flexi Smart, where you can still pay extra money and you can still withdraw, but you don't pay those fees. So we structure in a manner that you can still have the flexibility. Most of these products are available in the conventional platform or Islamic platform.
Right. And actually, so how does your Flexi Smart differ from the typical Flexi loan then, aside from not having to pay those extra fees?
The slight difference is that most customers, when they need flexibility, they are not doing transaction every day in our, you know, once in a year, once in 2 years, you get extra money. So a normal Flexi loan, they also give you a kind of operating account where you can cut a check, you can withdraw cash. It's a bit more flexible, so to say. In Flexi Smart, where we believe that consumers don't need like a separate bank account because they already have a bank account, we reduce a bit of cost on our side and we said we'll pass that on to customer, where most customer, when they need flexibility, it's like once in a year, once in 2 years, which our platform provides.
Okay, so and not
you can,
yeah.
And you can do the deposit or withdrawal now on the clicks. So earlier you had to go to branch, but recently we also put that functionality on clicks, so people can do that on weekend or if they are traveling and so on.
Right. Okay. So could you maybe walk us through the process? First of all, as you are trying to apply for a home loan, what are the kind of documents you need to put together?
So maybe I should articulate it separately for the people who are salaried versus self-employed.
Right.
For salary, it's quite simple. You give your IC copy. And then second, we need income proof, which could be your 3 months payslip or a EPF statement. So that's pretty much it. For self-employed, the slight different documents. So you have IC copy, the business registration form. We also get the bank statement to see activity for your bank account related to your own business. Mm. And then typically a Form B, which is a tax statement, which gives us a sense of the income. So these are the four documents for self-employed. For salaried, it's quite simple.
Okay. And then you submit those to the bank. And then presumably after a period of processing, you receive a letter of offer, right? Before you sign these letters of offer, you can apply to different banks for different home loans to kind of see what you can get, right? So I suppose, what do you need to pay attention to when you are undergoing that process?
So before I answer the question about how you choose banks for a loan, so when you apply for a loan and for Insta approval, we'll talk a bit later. The process is a lot faster and simpler. But what bank will do is, in addition to the documents and application form, we take your approval to access the bureau. And I want to spend a bit of time because it's important. Sometimes people think it's a black box. So we take your approval to access the secrets, which is the Bureau for Malaysia, which has information from all banks about any credit product you take in, whether a credit card or a car loan or a mortgage loan or so on. So we access that and get information about your past payment behavior. So your payment history is important input to the bank's decisioning. And that's why I advise people that whatever you take, whether a credit card or a car loan or mortgage loan or ESP or whatever, you must ensure that you are paying your installment in time. You're paying at least the minimum due for a credit card so that your payment records stay clean. Because if you miss payment, then it does have an adverse impact on your chance of getting approval from banks. The second thing which banks look at, I'll come to your original question, is what is the DSR, the debt service ratio? Mm. So debt service ratio is basically a way to check what's your net income, what are your current commitments to different loan product or credit card you have. And then if you take this new loan, can you afford to pay the total commitment plus the installment for the new loan as a percent of your total net income, what percent it is? So let's say you earn 5,000 net and your commitment already 2,000 and the new loan will be another 1,000. Your total commitment, including new loan, will be 3,000 on a 5,000, around 60%. So the 60% DSR is just a reference point. Mm. And there are some guidelines from regulator as well as the banks have their own policy. So the DSR is important. And sometimes, very often, that actually becomes a reason to decline. It's not that you are not a good customer, but that you may not be able to afford this installment. And that's why I started out saying that first thing you do is calculate the estimated installment and whether you can afford to pay. To your questions about multiple banks, so it's not uncommon for consumers to apply for more than one bank loan, partly because they want to be sure they get approved somewhere.
Yep.
And if they can get approved at more than one place, they can have some choice. So some of it is your comfort with the bank. Typically, people will go with a bank who they already have a bank account. Mm-hmm. They have done something with the bank. The quality of service is acceptable to them. So that would be, I think, the first point. The second would be the payment convenience, because you're going to be paying your installment month after month, every month, and it should be easy for you to pay that. Some banks provide, you know, you can do like your monthly auto payment. Mm-hmm. So the bank will debit your bank account and pay to your loan amount. So it takes away hassle from you of remembering every month. Then there are options on website, on the app, in addition to the branches. Many customers don't want to go to branches, so there are other options. You should be comfortable. So the payment convenience, I would say, is the second part. And the third would be, if you're taking, let's say, your bank property for 500,000, how much is the loan amount? Mm. So typically, bank will provide 90%. We call it margin of finance or loan to value. So if you get a 450 loan, then you have to pay 50,000. So the margin of finance will be another input to your decisioning. Some customers want higher margin of finance versus other customers. And then finally, obviously, the mortgage interest rate or the profit rate you pay on the loan. So these are some of the factors. Some are more important to some clients and others are more important to other clients.
Okay, so that's just a matter of preference, really.
That's right.
Okay, and how do you go about negotiating with banks then?
It depends. I mean, many banks will just give you a rate and that's it.
Yeah.
But let's say if you have been the customer, you have some preferred banking or priority banking, then you can ask and maybe they'll give you a lower rate.
Okay.
It happens, but it's not like happens for all the loans. It happens for a very small segment of customers.
Right, okay. So you mentioned different interest rates that that the bank may offer you. I understand there are different kinds of interest rates, so fixed interest rates versus variable. I suppose, what are your opinions on those?
So in Malaysia context, most of the loans are on variable rate. So it's variable to the bank's board rate or the bank's lending rate. There are very limited, I would say, options to have the fixed rate where you could get a fixed rate for, let's say, 1 to 3 years. So if you got a fixed rate for 3 years, for example, then you as a consumer are not impacted if there are interest rate increase in the industry. I would say that when you get a fixed rate, typically you pay higher than the variable rate, let's say on day one. And so you end up paying the cost of this peace of mind. So it really depends. If you really are worried about the interest is going to go up in next 1 year and you want to be protected, then you could go for fixed rate. But it's not that common. The offers are very limited and it's up to the consumers if you get the choice.
Earlier, you mentioned different loan tenures that some banks may offer 35 to 40 years. What advice would you give? Would you advise for a longer loan tenure or would you prefer a shorter loan tenure?
So I guess, like everything, there are positives and negatives. When you take a longer tenor, provided the bank can give you, then your installment amount would be lower. And therefore, it becomes more affordable for you to pay. On the other hand, if the tenor is long, you end up paying more total interest because you're paying for longer years. So it's a trade-off. If you can afford to pay installment higher amount, then you can go for shorter tenor. But if you want to be sure your installment amount is affordable and you want to go for longer tenor, then you can do that. The other thing is that you can go for longer tenor where you're very sure you can pay installment. But if you have extra money, if you go for a flexi product, you can pay ahead of time and right. still reduce your total interest cost of the tenor. So it actually depends upon the consumer.
Okay. Say I'm the recipient of a home loan. So you mentioned earlier that flexi loans allow you more flexibility to pay off bits and pieces as you get extra money. Under a normal, a fixed term loan, how long do I have to wait before I refinance that loan or before I try to pay it off entirely?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Firstly, even in the flexi loan, you have an installment and you must pay that installment on the minimum. Consumers should not think flexi loan, they can pay lesser than the installment. They must pay on the minimum the installment given to them. But the flexibility is if you have extra money, then you can pay ahead of time. To your question about typically the banks will have a lock-in period and the lock-in period can be anywhere between 3 to 5 years. So if your lock-in period is 3 years, then you cannot refinance before 3 years. Otherwise, you might have a penalty. Some banks will take your cost of moving. So if you already have a loan with a bank and you want to move to another bank, there might be some cost of transfer in terms of the legal fees, valuation, etc. So if the bank takes that cost, then the lock-in may be longer, say 5 years. I think 3 to 5 years is pretty standard.
We've been speaking to Vipin Agrawal, Head of Cards, Retail Assets and Deposits Group Consumer Banking, CIMB Group, about some of the things to think about if you're applying for a housing loan for the first time. BFM 89.9. We're back on BFM 89.9's The Property Show, where I'm speaking to Vipin Agrawal, Head of Cards, Retail Assets and Deposits Group Consumer Banking, CIMB Group. Vipin, could you share with us, so CIMB's recently introduced a fairly speedy process for getting approval on housing loans, is that right?
On March 6th, we launched this Insta approval, and I believe we are the first bank to do that in Malaysia. And we started it for a developer sales event. So we launched this for 8 developers, 95 projects, and we can increase it over time. So if you go to any of these 95 project, 8 developer and walk in, you choose a property and then you walk to CIMB sales counter and you can in one session, you can get the full approval.
Right.
And you just walk in with your IC.
Okay.
That's all. So the way it works is that you give an IC and we do your thumb verification to ensure that Lin, you are Lin. And then we have a mobile EPF machine. We put the your IC because you can only print an EPF statement of the genuine customer. And we print the statement, a 6-month statement typically for EPF. And that becomes the source of the income documentation.
Right.
Then we sit with you. We key in all the information related to your demographics, etc., property. We also pull in the data from IC. So our IC, when we connect to our system, it pulls in actually, there are 5-word fields in the IC chip, which we pull in. So we spend less time keying in. And we use the EPF statement upload. And after all this, we press submit. It goes and pulls the secrets, which you allow us to do when you apply for a loan. And in a minute's time, system will give us the full approval. And we tell you, Lin, you're approved. And we can actually print a LO, the letter of offer, on the spot.
Wow, okay.
And you can go home, be sure that you're buying that property. We market it as 1-minute financing approval. Insta approval, which launched on 6th March. And our people end up going to these sales event, working with our developer partner. And they like it a lot. Actually, some of their advertisement about the property event, they will say Insta approval from CIMB, you know. So we think it's quite attractive, just with an ICU walk-in. So it's open for Malaysian citizen, right, where the EPF will be available. And that's it. You walk out being very sure that you're getting a loan from CIMB.
So you don't need any additional documentation or anything, just your IC?
Just your IC and the EPS statement. In some cases, not that often, but if your income, your salary income is not sufficient to qualify and you have other income sources beyond your salary, then those documents you can give us then or you can give us later, in which case we can approve you subsequently.
Okay.
But that's not common. Most of us, salary income is the primary income.
Okay. And I was wondering, are there any extra eligibility requirements that you have to fulfill in order to qualify for Insta approval?
Our requirements are exactly same for Insta approval. So we have not added more requirement. You can get property loan up to 3 million. Again, very broad-based. But like I talked about the debt service ratio. So let's say you chose property slightly beyond your salary income and you have other income. Most customers who don't have income beyond the salary income and they don't need it for the loan, they will walk out with the letter of offer.
So are there any additional fees? Or I suppose, if not, do you use a slightly higher interest rate perhaps to...
So part of our overall focus on digitization and customer experience, and we've been doing this for last many years, we are trying to automate, digitize most of the product and most of the channel. So when we did this, idea was not to try to make more money, but really provide world-class customer experience. So whatever you get on the Insta approval platform, it's exactly what you will get otherwise.
Right.
Everything is same. The documents are same. The criteria are same. The interest rate are same. So you pretty much get what you will get otherwise, but you get it faster.
So I guess then I suppose I'm curious as to whether the increased speed would compromise any due diligence that the banks might have been able to do in that period usually that they take?
Actually, even if you apply for a normal loan, not through Insta approval, we typically approve it in 2 to 4 days. But what really is powerful about Malaysia is our bureau is one of the better bureau in Asia. So that gives us a lot of confidence. And the IC with the thumbprint verifies that you are, let's say, Lin and not somebody else who's acting as Lin. So we don't really compromise. But what we have really done is that some of the intuitive thing done by our staff at the back end in typical loan, we try to automate that. And that's why we kept, let's say, if it is really large size loan, more than 2 million for apartment and 3 million for landed, then you have to go through that few days process.
Right, okay. Yeah. So there is an upper limit to the amount that you can apply for?
Yes, as I said, it's up to 2 million for apartments and 3 million for landed.
So I was wondering if this system has been introduced in other countries, like has this been used elsewhere or?
I believe that like approval within like 10 to 20 minutes. So if you sit with our sales staff, it'll take, depending upon how fast consumer gives information, we have to capture it on the system. I think we are one of the first. And what happens is, Lynn, you should know that many banks will say they'll do approval, but they actually do conditional approval.
Right.
So they'll say, oh, we have to do this check and it may not be full. But in our case, we issue letter of offer. So as I know this, we're probably the first in ASEAN, based on my knowledge.
And do you see this as being a trend that we are slowly moving towards in Malaysia?
I guess world is generally getting faster and more instant. But when and which banks come into doing the same is very hard for me to guess.
Okay. Just to put that aside for a second, some banks have schemes that were specifically targeting first home buyers. So how do these differ from your normal home loan application processes?
And that's a very good question, especially listeners who are younger and who are applying for their home loan first time. So we participate both in there's a scheme called My First Home Scheme. So good thing about the My First Home Scheme is that you can actually get up to 100% margin of finance.
Right.
Therefore, you don't have to put any down payment. It is created for people less than 5,000 income and who are below 40 years age. So you will be, maybe your income is higher, sorry. But but for people who are starting out and below 5,000 income and below 40 years age, then they can apply for First Home Scheme and you can get up to 100% financing.
Okay.
So that's quite powerful.
Yeah.
And so that one, we are part of it and we encourage people to use that. These are the pretty standard requirement. Now, obviously, when you buy a property and you have an installment to pay, even if you get 100% financing, you still have to pay the installment.
You still have to
pay. So other criteria like, your payment history is clean and secrets if you're taking other product like credit card, car loan and so on. And then your debt service ratio that you can afford to pay, they still come in play.
Okay.
So you have to pay a monthly installment, whether it's 90% financing or 100%. But that's about it. You have pretty standard documentation for this.
Okay. And the 10 years of the loans are the same as well?
The tenor of the, yes, it'll be based on your age and, yeah.
All right. And before we end the show, Vipin, I guess, do you have any last things you'd like to add?
I would go back to what I said, is that when you want to buy a property, first thing you do is you can afford to pay the installment and go to any bank website or CIMB website, and based on the tenor, loan amount and the interest rate, which could be estimated, how much you have to pay every month. So that would be the first thing. And second thing I would say is that people should keep their payment record clean. So
right.
If you take a credit card or you take a car loan or any loan, you must pay your monthly installment. And for a credit card, on the minimum due, which the bank asks you. When you keep your payment record clean, then it increases the chance of get approval, which I believe is obviously anxiety in customer mind that if I apply for a loan, will I get approved? And I can understand that.
That was Lynn Mark speaking with Vipin Agrawal from CIMB Group. If you missed any part of that conversation, you can download the podcast on the BFM app. You can find that on Google Play or the Apple App Store. We've got the 10 o'clock news bulletin coming up next, and Enterprise after that. This is Melissa Idris signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.